Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 34. Tataksavayam upavishtam uttame ripasane samvrita tejasam vibhum alakshitam dwaritam atmanamarshanam prachanda vaktram nabhaja kaschana. Tata, thereafter, sabayam, in the assembly house, upavishtam, seated, utame, on the best, Ripa Asane, throne upon which King Hiranyakashipu used to sit. Sambrita Tejasam, in full effulgence. Vibhum, the Supreme Lord. Alakshita Dvairatam, whose challenger or enemy was not seen. Ati, very much. Amarshanam, fearsome, due to his anger. Prachanda, terrible. Vaktram, face. Na, not. Babaja, worshipped. Kaschana, anyone. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Manifesting a full effulgence and a fearsome countenance, Lord Nrsimha, being very angry and finding no contestant to face his power and opulence, then sat down in the assembly hall on the excellent throne of the king. Because of fear and obedience, no one could come forward to serve the Lord directly. Purport. When the Lord sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, there was no one to protest. No enemy came forward on behalf of Hiranyakashipu to fight with the Lord. This means that his supremacy was immediately accepted by the demons. Another point is that although Hiranyakashipu treated the Lord as his bitterest enemy, he was the Lord's faithful servant in Vaikuntha. And therefore the Lord had no hesitation in sitting on the throne that Hiranyakashipu had so laboriously created. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that sometimes with great care and attention, great saintly persons and rishis offer the Lord valuable seats dedicated with Vedic mantras and tantras, but still the Lord does not sit upon those thrones. Hiranyakashipu, however, had formerly been Jai, the doorkeeper at the Vaikuntha gate, and although he had fallen because of the curse of the brahmanas, and had gotten the nature of a demon, and although he had never offered anything to the Lord as Hiranyakashipu, the Lord is so affectionate to his devotee and servant that he nonetheless took pleasure in sitting on the throne that Hiranyakashipu had created. In this regard, we understood that a devotee is fortunate in any condition of his life, even if he becomes a demon. Of course, you have to be a doorkeeper, a Vaikuntha, to qualify. Translation, manifesting a full effulgence and fearsome countenance, Lord Nrsimha, being very angry and finding no contestant to face his power and opulence, then sat down in the assembly hall on the excellent throne of the king. Because of the fear and obedience, no one came forward to serve the Lord directly. So here we have it. Mom Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutte Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamare. Namaste, Saraswatundeva, Gauravani Pacharne, Nirvishesha, Srinivadi, Paskyadhyade, Siddharne. As it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Neha Bikramanasho Sti, Pratyavayo Navidyate, Swapam Apyasi Dharmasya, Trayate Mahatobayat, that on this path there is no loss of intuition, And even a little advance can protect one from the greatest fear. In other words, from our point of view, someone is doing good and he's worthy of respect, and someone is doing bad and he's worthy of our criticism. But for Krishna, he sees the material world from his point of view. The material world is more or less just an illusion that he himself is creating that enables the living entities to imagine that there is something other than who they are. Therefore, all the activities in the material world are simply manifested by Krishna through his material energy and based upon the desires and what the living entities are deserving. So the fact is that actually there is nothing really of any value that's going on in the material world, except for the fact of giving the living entities a chance either to elevate themselves in consciousness with the hope that they may eventually take up Krishna consciousness, or putting themselves in a direct devotional service and therefore utilizing the material energy in Krishna's service. Utilizing the material energy in Krishna's service means desiring to serve Krishna. And when the living entity desires to serve Krishna sincerely, then Krishna puts the living entity under the internal energy and his activities become spiritualized, spiritual. In any case, when the living entity desires to oppose Krishna, then Krishna puts the living entity in the inferior energy, the external energy, which are also carried out by the material energy. Either the activities are carried out by the material energy or they're carried out by the spiritual energy. And what the soul is doing is simply desiring. Now, from Krishna's point of view, of course, he sent the gatekeepers into the material world for three lives, and therefore he understood that this is just a playing, that they're actually not demons, they're actually my eternal servants, and somehow or another, I made these arrangements, complicated arrangements, so that they'd come here and fight with me for three times. They themselves, when they saw that Krishna wanted to fight, they desired to come and fight with Krishna. And therefore Krishna made first the arrangement that when Lakshmi Devi left Vaikuntha for some reason, of course it's hard to imagine Lakshmi Devi leaving Vaikuntha, but anyhow, on her way back, Narayan, before she came back, Narayan told the gatekeepers, don't let anyone in. And so they blocked Lakshmi Devi from going in, which is not a good idea. But anyhow, they did it under the order of Lord Narayan. And what choice did they have? And so she cursed them. Getting cursed by Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha is not the most healthy thing you can do. In any case, then the arrangement was made that the four Kumaras came to the gate. They also weren't allowed in. And therefore, they also cursed the doorkeepers. And therefore, Lord Narayan came and tried to resolve the issue and gave them three lives as demons in the material world. Lord Narayan is completely aware of everything. So he has no animosity towards anyone. And what to speak of devotees that he sends in the material world for a mission. Therefore, knowing what the present, what the future is, Lord Nrsimhadeva was very pleased with sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, knowing that actually this is my devotee and this is all part of my pastimes. Now, from our point of view, because the pastimes are made for our enlightenment, they're made for our education, therefore we don't take Hiranyakashipu and feel affectionate towards him as a very nice person, devotee of Krishna. He was a demon. He tortured Prahlad Maharaj, and therefore he was not in our book of favorites. But still, from Lord Nrsimhadeva's point of view, then it's a completely different vision. But we ourselves are not great Mahabhagavats necessarily, and therefore we cannot take this idea that actually he looks like a demon, but actually at heart he was a devotee. No, he was a demon, and at heart he was a real demon too. Otherwise, how could he torture such a great Mahabhagavat as Prahlad Maharaj? The conclusion is that there's many different points of view, and we should try to see from our appropriate point of view, but at the same time we should appreciate Krishna's point of view. Because generally speaking, in our practical service as trying to preachers, we have to see from Krishna's point of view. At the same time, we have to act from the Madhyama Adhikari point of view. In other words, even the devotees don't have animosity even towards the demons, in one sense, because they understand that demons are actually Krishna's servants playing the part of a demon. Therefore, upeksha. Generally, they ignore them or try to avoid their association. But when necessarily, as we can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna even fights with the demons. But his attitude is not of animosity. When Krishna is killing the demon, it's just like a father slapping his naughty child for his education, for his rectification. So similarly, when the devotees are being opposed by the demons, they don't become antagonistic towards the demons. In one sense, they simply understand that the demons are opposing Krishna, and therefore it's our duty, in some way or another, either to ignore them or, when necessary, to try to defeat them. But even the defeat is for their benefit, as in the material world when we're suffering, or if we're given good opportunities for service, but it's all for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna is all good, and whatever Krishna does is good, even though it sometimes appears to us to be bad. But that's from our relative point of view. But for Krishna, from Krishna's point of view, it's all beneficial for the soul. Although it may take a long time for the soul to understand that, and the soul birth after birth is opposing Krishna, as if Krishna is their bitterest enemy. But for Krishna, Krishna is always friendly towards everyone, and therefore he sits in their heart, waiting for the opportunity for them to turn towards him so he can give them good direction to go back to the spiritual world. But we can see in this material world, the souls are quite stubborn. It takes a long time to learn. We're very slow learners here. But at least if we're on the path of learning them, it's very auspicious. Any questions so far? So you can find the throne of Hiranyakashipu. I don't know if we can sit on it, but we can worship it. So Nrisimhadev sat on it. So translation, Hiranyakashipu had been exactly like a fever of meningitis in the head of the three worlds. Thus, when the wives of the demigods and the heavenly planets saw that the great demon had been killed by the personal hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their faces blossomed in great joy. The wives of the demigods again and again showered flowers from heaven upon Lord Nrisimhadev like rain. Another descriptive verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. You see all the dead demons around here. Lord Nrisimhadev, and you can see the demigoddesses' faces blossom in great joy, and they're showering flowers from heaven upon Lord Nrisimhadev like rain. So it's a very colorful description. If one day you're walking along and the demigoddesses shower flowers on you, you know your devotional service is improving. At that time, the airplanes of the demigods who desired to see the activities of the Supreme Lord Narayan crowded the sky. The demigods began beating drums and kettle drums. Upon hearing them, the angelic women began to dance, while the chiefs of the Gandharvas sang sweetly. My dear King Yudhisthira, the demigods then approached the Lord They were headed by Lord Brahma, King Indra, and Lord Shiva, and included great saintly persons in the residence of Pitriloka, Siddhaloka, Vidyadharaloka, and the planet of the snakes. The Manus approached, and so did the chiefs of the various other planets. The angelic dancers approached, as did the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the inhabitants of Kinanara Loka, and the Vitalas, the inhabitants of King Purusha Loka, and the personal servants of Vishnu like Sunanda and Kumuda. All of them came near the Lord, who glowed with intense light. They individually offered their obeisances and prayers, their hands folded at their heads. So there's, now we get to a purport again, but I think we'll stop here. Any questions so far?
Krishna, you mentioned that Lakshmi Devi went out and then she cursed Jai Vijay.
Yeah.
This is in the Bhagavatam or some other?
Yeah, it must be in the purport. I didn't make it up.
we know.
Yeah, it's...
So they were cursed two times, by Lakshmi Devi and by four Kumaras.
Yeah.
In the same lila.
Yeah. And it also mentions that Jai and Vijay wanted to come to the material world because they saw that the Lord wanted to fight with someone, and therefore they volunteered to come. And so Krishna had arranged some way of them coming. Otherwise it says, in the third canto it says, no one falls from Vaikuntha in that verse. Remember that?
Yes, nowhere.
We have a third canto? I guess we don't have a third canto here. Anyhow, we have to look it up. We don't have something to look. Can you look it up? Third canto, it says, no one falls from Vaikuntha. You have a folio or something, you can type that in? Come up with something? What do you have on your computer? Ananda, do you have folio on your computer?
Yes, I have, but on this expression,
no one falls from Vaikuntha.
The conclusion is that no one falls from the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. This is 3, 6, and 26 purport.
Okay, so what, can you read the purport?
That part?
That part.
The conclusion is that no one falls from the spiritual world or the Vaikuntha planet, for it is the eternal abode. But sometimes, as the Lord desires, devotees come into this material world as preachers or as atheists. In each case, we must understand that there is a plan of the Lord. Lord Buddha, for example, was an incarnation, yet he preached atheism. There is no God. But actually, there was a plan behind this, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, good. Maybe you can type in Lakshmi cursed.
I have one additional question.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned these different points of view. And what is the role or hermeneutics in this regard? Does this...
Well, I don't know hermeneutics. The just logical sense, since everyone has a different level of consciousness, everyone has a different rasa. In the material world, everyone's on a different mode, in a different modes of nature. Therefore, they have a different vision. And in the spiritual world, everyone has different rasas. And therefore, they're going to have a different perspective on the same thing. When Mother Jasoda sees that Krishna has marks on his body, she can't imagine it's coming from the gopis. She thinks he's been in the forest, and the trees and the branches have scratched him. She can't imagine Krishna as anything but a little boy. So, it's a different point of view. And the gopis are shocked at first, and then they realize Mother Jasoda is never going to figure it out eternally. Therefore, they smile and laugh. So, that's eternal, different points of view. Hermeneutics, I think that's a Christian. How to interpret the Bible. But I don't know if we have to follow. We're not the Bible. We're not reading the Bible. We have our own. Prabhupada is giving us his hermeneutics. He said, if you want to know me, then study my books. So that we get our hermeneutics from him. Because otherwise, how do we... And then he also says we shouldn't... Sometimes he said, don't circulate my letters. He said, whatever I've said to you, I'm just saying to you personally. So we have to look at those things. The letters are more going to time, place, and audience. And the books may be sometimes given according to the time, place, the purports are given in the time, place, and circumstances that the Bhagavatam describes. But still, the Bhagavatam is giving us principles, the 10 principles that it outlines, specifically for our understanding how to advance, who Krishna is and how to advance in devotional service. So the historical references given in the Bhagavatam have a principle basis. While on the other hand, Prabhupada talking according to some time, place, and circumstance may not always be, it's always, whatever he says is absolute. But it may be according to the relative time, place, and circumstances that he's giving his perspective on things. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharashima Bhagavatam Kijai.